Political columnist George Skelton has covered government and politics since 1961, and for the LA Times since 1974. He's been a Times political writer and editor in Los Angeles, Sacramento bureau chief, and White House correspondent. He's written a column on California politics, Capital Journal, since 1993. He's a Santa Barbara native, grew up in Ojai, covered the Reagan White House for 5 years, spent 18 months on two separate occasions as a presidential campaign reporter back in 1976, presidential campaign editor in 1980, and at age 16 in 1953, worked for the Ojai Valley News, reporting on local sports. And he was paid 10 cents per inch for his column. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, George Skelton.
Yeah, thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Coming from the LA Times Bureau in downtown Sacramento. Last time you were on, you told me in 1953 you started writing local sports for the Ojai Valley News. You were setting type, I guess, and you asked the editor, who's covering local sports? And he said, you are. So that was your first job. Did he live long enough to see you become a successful political columnist, that guy?
Gee, I don't know. After I left the Ojai Valley News, I didn't pay much attention to it after that. But I started out melting down lead from linotype machines to be reused. It's what we called pigs on linotype, and I cleaned presses. I mailed out the paper every Wednesday night. One day, for high school sports, the guy pointed to me instantly and said, you are, and I got 10 cents an inch.
Jeez, that's 1953. That's pretty cool. You beat me by, I was born in 56, so you beat me by 3 years. So you have written a lot of columns, and you wrote a lot about propositions. And most recently, Prop 36 was passed, and also the L.A. D.A., George Gascon, got booted out. I don't know if there's a connection there. And you wrote your support of Prop 36. The joke was that people were getting tired of locking up their toothpaste, they'd rather lock up the criminals. And why did you support Prop 36?
Well, I never liked Proposition 47, which passed in 2014, I believe. It rolled back reduced penalties on thefts, and you could steal anything under $940, and it would be a misdemeanor. And the cops didn't want to bother with arresting people for misdemeanors, and stores stopped even reporting thefts of common shoplifting, stuff under $940 worth. And so it became open sesame. I mean, people just shoplifting like crazy, and grocers are telling me that people just load up grocery carts and head for the door, and nobody would stop them, and it got ridiculous. Well, people saw all this, and they didn't like it, and they rebelled against the Democratic establishment, is what it was, who didn't like the idea of locking up people so much and filling up the prisons. And what I wrote was, well, that's what the prisons are for. Fill them up. And it's better to put these guys in prison than let them be free on the street to smash and grab and create mayhem, you know. So that's why I was... And these cycles go back and forth. I mean, you know, every 15, 20 years, we seem to vary from locking them all up to letting them all out. And right now, we're going back to locking them up.
Right.
Sometime we might find an equal balance in there. And I think that's what 36 is trying to do. They don't want to go all the way back to where we were, where we locked up a lot of people. But they want to... Part of 36 is to require rehabilitation for if somebody's a druggie or an alcoholic, commits a crime, they can stay out of jail if they do rehab, that kind of thing.
That's part of Prop 36?
Not in every case, but it's case by case. So I think there's going to be a good balance in 36.
I didn't know that. Part of Prop 36 is offering alternatives to prison.
Yeah, correct. Right. Well, if you're an alcoholic or a druggie, if you're addicted, yes. You're just a common old crook who just likes to steal stuff. You're going to go to prison.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. A political columnist, George Skelton, he's calling in from the L.A. Times Bureau in downtown Sacramento. You covered the White House in reading your columns. To put it mildly, you were not a fan of Donald Trump. Vice President Harris running was asked about Prop 36, and she wouldn't say whether she supported it or not, which was, I don't know, it seemed surprising to me that she didn't. You think that was a mistake?
I don't think it made any difference.
Do you think, okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a follow-up. Don't think it made any difference. Do you think no matter who ran against Harris, they would have won, no matter who it was?
Any Republican who ran in a primary, I think, would have beaten Harris. In fact, I think Trump is the only person she would have come close to. Trump, any credible Democrat, well, Harris is credible, I take that back, but another Democrat, I think, could have beaten Trump. Somebody with a fresh face who wasn't tied to Biden and has gone through the primaries and built up a national support base. I think that person probably could have beaten Trump.
I hear you.
But Harris on Prop 36, just let me say this. Two things about that. One, on the one hand, it's a California-only issue, and if you're running for president, you don't want to get involved in state issues so much. But on the other hand, it was typical Harris, because there's a lot of issues when she was attorney general she didn't take a stand on. Criminal things particularly. There was a ballot measure sponsored by Governor Jerry Brown to reduce sentencing. She never took a stand on it. There was another one to eliminate capital punishment. She didn't take a stand on that. There was another one to expedite capital punishment. She didn't take a stand on that either. So taking positions where you don't have to aggravate people and take stands is where she comes out.
Is that,
and that's a big mistake for somebody who's running for public office, I think.
Right. So the follow-up was, you know, maybe a lot of other attorney generals or people don't follow that that mode or that philosophy. You know, you take a stand.
Well, Trump doesn't, certainly. I mean, you know where the heck Trump stands. I mean, I don't. He may change his mind in another year or two and lie that he never took the previous position. But you know where he stands whenever he says something. That's for sure.
Right. Right. Well, we can't open up that closet. But I've read some of your columns, and again, so people who don't know where you stand, you're not a fan.
Well, I think the guy's despicable. But you know.
Right. So I want people to know that in terms of couching your perspective on Harris and the presidential election.
I was never a fan of Kamala Harris either. So.
Right. My guest, George Skelton. Covered government and politics since 1961 and the LA Times since 1974. We had some recent issues in the South Coast. Two things happened. The 101 carpool lanes, HOV, opened up. And also Miramar owner Rick Caruso, I guess you might have followed him when he was running for mayor, he bought the Miramar Hotel a while back, and he proposed building housing, affordable rental housing, plus affordable rental housing, and a lot of retail space. And apparently the state law on affordable rental housing is 55 years, but he designated it as in perpetuity. He went beyond what the state requires. And early on, there was a real short fuse on affordable housing, like for sale. And then people just like won the lotto and they could just sell it. And then it was no longer affordable. What do you make of having a cap on affordable rental or for sale housing versus in perpetuity?
Well, that's something I haven't really analyzed, studied. I'm not familiar with the Miramar Hotel situation. All I know about the Miramar Hotel is that I used to stay there once in a while. I was always attracted to those really neat blue roofs. And but as far as a cap on how long the affordable housing is good for, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, I tend to think the state should put a cap on things like that, because 50 years from now, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, 50 years from now, I mean, 50 years ago, the Miramar Hotel was a great going concern. Then it went sort of belly up, I guess, right?
Yes. Yes.
So who knows 50 years from now? So you want to be able to make a change in something if it's warranted. That's basically what I feel, just off the top of my head.
Right. I kind of feel that if you're going to, you know, give someone permits to build affordable housing, you might be giving them higher density, less parking requirements. You kind of bend the rules to allow someone to build affordable housing. And then in the end, if it goes away, it's like you never had it at all. I guess you bring up a point about you don't know what the future will be. Maybe you tie what people can charge to what the future brings. But I thought that he might have done that to make a statement, to say, hey, look, you know, I want approval. And I'm not going to, it'll go on forever. So maybe that helped sell his project, his huge project, a lot of retail. And it was a lot of controversy at the beginning, but he worked it and he got it approved.
I wish it were going back to the old hotel. That's what I wish, but.
Well, he does, you know, of course, you know, the old blue roofs, you know, it's a very high-end hotel right now. He's got high-end restaurants in there. And he's putting in high-end retail, and you know, it seems to be people go there and like it. So it's still there. It'll cost you a pretty penny to stay there, but next time you're in Montecito, maybe you could get a room at the Miramar Hotel. My guest, George Skelton, coming from the LA Times Bureau in downtown Sacramento. So in front of the Miramar Hotel is the 101, and we've been. I was at a bar. A woman was celebrating her 85th birthday, and she said, "My goal is to live long enough to see the 101 three-lane construction completed. It's been going on forever." And they just opened up what they call carpool lanes, or HOV, high occupancy vehicles. And you know, I don't like it. I think it's an attempt to encourage carpooling, which, you know, if someone can carpool, they're going to try to carpool. I think it discriminates against single people. have you ever written about those designated lanes? Do you have any opinion on that?
No, I never have, but I do feel strongly about that. I agree with you. I don't think they particularly work anyway, because I don't think they're not really enforced. I mean, in Sacramento, we have carpool lanes. And if people want to get someplace, they get fast. They get into those carpool lanes. They're never pulled over, as far as I can see. Highway Patrol never patrols that kind of thing. And if you've got three lanes, use all three lanes for everybody. I mean, why kid yourself that people are going to carpool just for a carpool lane? No, people have different hours at work, and I don't think it's ever been effective. And it ticks me off when I'm going along trying to stay within the law and keeping my crowded lane, because it's crowded because there's a carpool lane that's not really being used. And if it is used, it's used by people who are breaking the law, and they don't get cited for it. So, yeah, I'm totally against it.
Yeah.
Those things have been going on for 50 years, and I don't like them.
And here we are, brand new. And now, on the plus side, it's only for a window of time during commuting times. But
right.
I agree with you. As someone, we have enough incentive to carpool. You know, the price of gas. I think anyone who has the ability to carpool would do it. And they're not going to suddenly do it so they can drive in that one lane. And then everyone else, like you said, gets stuck in more traffic. The whole point of the third lane was to get traffic moving. It is kind of sad to see that they must think it's working, or they just like it, but it's brand new.
Yeah, Governor Kerry Brown brought that in L.A., diamond lanes back in 1970s, and it was very controversial then. And I guess people have just given up and gotten used to it. They don't complain about it anymore, but you talked me into it. Maybe I'll write a column about it. What the heck?
I will track it. I get the LA Times. My guest, George Skelton, based in downtown Sacramento, and he's been writing political columns since 1961, with the LA Times since 1974. Well, good. Check it out. And maybe you could also check out if the rumors were true that when they finally got approval for the three lanes in each direction, they decided Montecito would be last. But they started with closing the Hot Springs 101 southbound on-ramp, because it's on the left side, and they want to get rid of all those. And I don't know why they had to do that right away, because it just wreaked havoc on Coast Village Road. And so the rumor is that Caltrans had it in for Montecito because they derailed the 101 expansion in the 1990s. Could have been all done for probably 20% of what they're paying now. So you're an investigative reporter. Add that, please, to your list. George Skelton, we've got just about 3 minutes left. You had told me that you took a 1990 trip to Ukraine one time. I don't remember the specifics, and we're coming up with a new president, and this Ukraine war has gone on. I can't believe it's gone on as long as it has. What was your 1990 trip to Ukraine about?
Oh, I was just on a private cruise. My wife and I took a Black Sea cruise, and we stopped, the boat stopped in Odessa. And it was interesting because the day before, the parliament had split from the Soviet Union, declared its independence, Ukraine's independence from the Soviet Union. And people were lined up 50, 60 to buy newspapers to read about it. And we were in this park along the sea, and people had their heads in this newspaper reading about Ukraine declaring its independence from the Soviet Union. And you could just see by the looks on their faces, they were wondering, what next? What happens next? Well, we found out what happened next about, 35 years later, when the Russia invaded. That's what happened next. Took a while.
It did.
They also took over the Crimea a few years earlier. So that was the repercussion. So I found Odessa a beautiful city, and of course, it's being slowly destroyed by the Soviets, by the Russians right now.
Just what an amazing timing that you would be there the day after independence was declared, and there you were on a cruise ship. You're lucky it wasn't commandeered.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the amazing thing was people lined up to read newspapers. I mean, you don't see that anymore. But that was that's what fascinated me.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you being a newspaper man, you slowly drifted away from, you've gone from the newspaper's heyday to quite a shift with the Santa Barbara News Press closed and everything is...
Death rows. You know, yeah, I've gone from the heyday to the death rows.
Well, let's hope the L.A. Times keeps going and you keep writing. I hope you outlive the L.A. Times. Let me put it that way.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I hope the L.A. Times lives a very long time, and I hope to be around for much of it.
Well, so. I appreciate you sharing your time with me, and I know you've got a luncheon appointment, so we're going to let you go. George Skelton, political columnist, L.A. Times. Always great talking with you, George. Thank you so much.
Hey, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to make it clear when he was discussing things that, to put it mildly, he was not a fan of Trump. So I wanted people who were listening to understand that when he was talking about Harris and Prop 36. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break and come back with, let's see, a house on Matthew Street sold. No, it wasn't a house. It was just dirt. How much would you pay to be near the airport? How much would you pay for dirt? Stay tuned. You'll be right back.